We have two New Testament readings this morning. The first is from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 28. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And from Mark 14, verses 27 to 42. You will all fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to the disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with the sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us go. Here is my betrayer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It sometimes feels a little funny to say thanks be to God after hearing here comes my betrayer. But here we are. This is where we are in the book of Mark. I'm going to come back here to the piano for a moment because I am not that good to be able to sing a note without hearing it. See if this hymn is familiar to you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Anyone familiar with that song? No? I'm seeing, wow. So, this is a hymn from 1876 by Robert Lowry. I was surprised to find that it wasn't in our hymn book, but it's one that I've sung many times. Certainly an example of an old hymn, but it is also the beginning of a song called Nothing But the Blood by Forrest Frank with Lecrae. So if you haven't heard of Lecrae, Lecrae is, in certain circles, a very famous Christian rap artist. Now, I haven't listened to a lot of rap music, and before I go any further, I'm going to leave you on a hanger, because in the excitement of singing, I forgot to pray. So I'm going to pray, and then I will continue my story. God, you are good. Even when we forget, you remind us. Thank you for the words of Mark and the words of Paul. Help us to hear them this morning and to hear what you have to say to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Okay, so Lecrae. I am reading as part of a group that I get together with monthly a book called Uncommon Ground, Living Faithfully in a World of Difference. And it's a series of essays talking about, from each person's perspective, how they approach living in a world of difference to bring people together as opposed to driving them apart. And the two chapters that I read this week were both written by songwriters. So I chose to listen to their music, the beauty of Spotify, as I read the chapters. And the second chapter I read, called Storyteller, was written by Lecrae. And so I listened to his music. And he writes of being a storyteller, there are seldom pure heroes or pure villains. In our lives, as in the Bible, our villains have surprising strengths and our heroes have tragic weaknesses. And there are lots of people in between. But this blurring of lines unsettles people. We much prefer in our stories to be our villains to be pure evil and our heroes to be pure good. But that's not what we find. But we like to do this in a lot of other things, right? Humans naturally like to categorize. And so we like to say, this thing is good, this thing is bad. This food is good, this food is bad. This music is good, this music is bad. And sadly, for a lot of Christians, they have put rap music in that bad category. Now, subjectively, it may not be your cup of tea, that's okay. But the question is, can rap music be used to encourage and to build and to bring together? And this is what he says about that. Lecrae writes, I have spent many hours working to convince Christians that rap music is valuable. Some Christians see it as a form of art used solely to glorify violence and misogyny. But although rap music is used in this way, those uses are not inherent to the art or its origins. Rap music is in many ways an articulation of a narrative that describes and explains the circumstances of a community. Rap music is descriptive, an account of a reality encountered by the artist. That accounting, a form of prophetic witness, has value. I thought that was a really interesting and intriguing way to describe this genre of music. And I feel like maybe if Mark had been born today, maybe he might have been a rapper. I don't know. He was young, and he did not hold back when it came to describing what was happening to Jesus and his disciples. To me, one of the greatest witnesses to the truth of the Gospels is how little they leave out and the details they choose to include. Because if someone wanted to make up a mythology about a group of people, I don't think you'd find most of the stories you find in the Bible. Because quite frankly, they do not paint the disciples in the best light. And even there are things that make us uncomfortable about Jesus. Because as Lecrae says, we don't live in a world, and the Bible doesn't describe a world in which good is purely good and simple, and evil is purely evil and simple. Even Jesus, who in his behavior is perfect, has these really vulnerable moments that show his humanity that many people have tried very hard to explain away. because we're much more comfortable with a Jesus that we can put on a pedestal that is separate from us. But Mark doesn't let us do that. And here in particular, in Gethsemane, which simply means oil press, so it would have been like a little working garden that would have been on the Mount of Olives. Jesus is in pain. And we can kind of gloss over this prayer that he makes, asking God to take away the cup that's been given him. But Mark uses language that should make us stop in our tracks. He describes Jesus as being in deep distress. He says to his friends, he is in anguish to the point of death. Jesus is in pain. And he desperately doesn't want what's coming next to happen, which I think is fair, having read the story and knowing what is coming. And Jesus knows the world. He knows what happens to people who are accused of rebellion and revolution. He has seen the people die on the cross and what comes before it. So as he waits for what is to come next, he is in excruciating pain. And I think in significant temptation. I think more than anything else that happens in this last week of his life, I think this moment of waiting is when he is tempted the most. Because let's make no mistake about it. Jesus had the power to get out of this situation. If Jesus so chose, he could have called the angels down and had been protected. There are other places in the Gospels where people want to kill him, and he walks through the crowd unscathed. Jesus could have walked away from the cross. That was his temptation in this moment of waiting. And he can feel it. And he is devastated by this place that he finds himself in. And so he brings his friends, three of them in particular, the three who most emphatically promised that they could stay with him. Just before this, as Bev read, Peter swore that even if it came to death, he would not leave Jesus. Just a couple chapters before, right, John and James come to Jesus and ask to be seated on his right and his left, and he asks them, can you bear the cup? Can you drink from the cup I will drink from? The cup that he just asked God to take away in his prayer? And they say, yes, yes, we can drink the cup. And so Jesus brings the three of them and says, I am in anguish to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. They too are preparing for maybe the greatest temptation that has been put against them up to this point as disciples of Jesus. And Jesus says, just stay and keep watch. Stay and pray with me. But he is in so much pain, and you know this if you've ever experienced this kind of pain, he needs to be alone. And so he walks a little further and he prays that God would take away this cup, but also prays that God's will be done. And what do those oh-so-faithful friends do? Those ones that swore that they would be with him to death? They fall asleep. And Jesus comes back and tries to explain to them why this is so important. He wakes them up and says, please, I know your spirit is willing, but your body is weak. Just pray. Pray, and God will save you from this temptation, but you've got to pray. And he goes and he models that, and he prays. And the disciples, those who promised to be with him right to the end, they fall back asleep. They can't even keep watch for 1 hour. Now, they're our heroes. Make no mistake about it, Peter is the rock on whom the church is built. These are our heroes we're hearing about. And we're hearing about their failure. But before we're too hard on them, we have to remember they're not alone. Just a little bit before our passage from Romans, and that's why I picked two New Testament passages today, Paul says in chapter 7, verse 15, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Paul's like, I know what's right. I know that I want to do what's right. And yet I look and I find myself doing what I hate. Paul, too, suffered from succumbing to temptation. If I have to imagine from what I know about Paul, it was probably around pride, maybe around anger. I think he was a very passionate guy. And maybe he yelled at people he shouldn't yell at. Maybe he lost patience with those who couldn't keep up with what it was he was trying to do. We don't really know the details of his sin, but we know he had it because he wrote about it to the Romans. And he continues to reflect in chapter 7 and chapter 8 about law and sin and spirit and grace and how these things connect. And he says, you know, it's not just us. It's all of creation that is groaning in pain as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. And he says, if we're going to hope, it has to be for something that hasn't come yet, because you can't hope for something you already have. So we wait for it patiently. There's that word again. And we pray. We wait to see what God is doing. I wonder how the story would have changed if Peter and John and James had done what Jesus asked. If instead of falling asleep, they had managed to stay awake and to pray earnestly and deeply for whatever was to come. Because they didn't know. They knew that Jesus was distressed. They knew that something was going on. What would have been different? Truth is, we'll never know. We know what did happen, right? Which is that Peter the Rock did not pray. And then Peter the Rock utterly failed in his temptation. And then Peter the Rock continued to be with his friends and to try to figure out what was going to happen in the aftermath of Jesus' death. And then Jesus came back. And he offered Peter the Rock redemption and forgiveness. And Peter took it. And Peter became the rock that Jesus said he would be. And if you read his sermon in Acts chapter 2, maybe into 3, you see a transformed person. I think it's often true of us too, that our spirit is willing, but our body is weak. It might mean we don't have enough energy or time or money, or we have too much fear. We feel weak. But be encouraged. Because even when that happened to Peter, that wasn't the end of the story. And it's not the end of the story for us. Especially when we feel that way, we are called to pray. Because this is the thing, if we learn nothing else from this story, we can't be the church if we don't pray. We simply can't. It is not optional. We can say whatever we want to God. We can cry and we can swear and we can protest and we can plead. We can celebrate and we can hope and we can be grateful. But we can't look at prayer as optional. as something that we can take or leave, especially when life gets difficult, especially when we don't know what the future holds. As I said earlier, I hate waiting. I will prepare for things, I will do the hard things, but that moment in between the waiting and the doing, or the preparing and the doing, for me is always the worst. And I've been enjoying our conversations, I've been encouraged by our conversations, I think our spirit is super willing in all of these conversations. But there was a part of me that was really happy we were going to reach a decision today, because I find the waiting hard. And so, of course, God has a sense of humor, and I'm not going to say that the ice storm's my fault, because that's a little too arrogant, I think. But I think God is using this ice storm to remind me that it's not my timing, that I don't get to decide. And I think probably it's for the best that we are having a little bit more time to think about these and reflect on them and pray on them. So I'm going to continue the Wednesday at noon prayer. I hope you will too. It's all we can do. And this is the time, the waiting, when those temptations become strong. The temptation to despair. The temptation to see no hope and no future. And sometimes we're going to succumb to that. But God is always there. Jesus is always there with the hand to help us point again towards that future, whatever it might look like. My friends, we're not alone. And God has a good plan. All right, I don't know why I decided to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it's going to be on the internet, which is a little scary. So that song that I sang starts a rap. I'm not going to rap, because that is a terrible idea. But what I have found is even when you're reading the words from a rap, you have to do it in a certain rhythm, or it just doesn't work. So I'm going to attempt to do this. These are the words from Nothing But the Blood, the rap version. All right, let's see what happens here. You're the only one who's righteous. Put my life inside your hands. I know that be the rightness. Can't believe I spent so many years trying to fight this. I was in the dark, but now I'm living where the light is. B-I-B-L-E when I cite this. That's the only weapon I need when I'm in a crisis. Feel his presence flowing through my body as I write this. He said, test the food and that'll show you where the life is. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let us pray. Jesus, we look for so many things that will make us whole, but the reality is it's you. It's true for us as individuals, and it's true for us as a community. So I thank you for the hope you offer, for the hope of things we have not yet seen, but we're getting glimpses of. I thank you that no matter how many times we fall and we fail, you are always there when we get back up again. Help us, God, to renew our focus on prayer, to remember that you are always there, that you can take anything we might have to throw at you. But what you don't want to see is for us to stop talking to you at all. So help us, whether it's from the groaning within of the Spirit or through words or song, or poetry. May we offer up our true thoughts and lives to you, and may we see how you are working in them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.